This episode is dedicated in loving memory of Fred Phillips. Excelsior, and welcome once again, true believers, to another exciting installment of Zach and Tavy's Marvelous Adventure, where we have been going through the Marvel Cinematic Universe from the beginning. I am Zach Walliner.
And I'm Tavy Phillips.
And we are here with yet another episode, and once more, as we have done a few times in the recent past, we are doing TV, we're doing a television series, and like the last one, we are once again doing a full 13-episode season. So it was quite an undertaking, but here we are ready to talk about it. What show are we talking about, Tavy?
We watched season one of Jessica Jones.
That's right, the next in the Netflix era of more mature Marvel shows. And right off the bat, because of that, I feel like I should say this, just putting out sort of a content warning, trigger warning, because there's some heavy stuff in the show. I don't know how much we'll get into all of it, but there's some really heavy topics. There's like post-traumatic stress.
Yep.
There's, and I got to be careful with this too, because I do listen to these with Penny.
Yep.
How we phrase things. Look, I don't want to go full TikTok and use some of the dumb terminology they've come across, because apparently you can get in trouble for certain words. I'm not going to refer to a horrendous act as a fruit that grows on the
fruit. Pot. Yeah, that really makes my skin crawl anyway.
But
assaults happen.
We could say SA, I guess. I know
SA.
Assaults of that particular nature, and other stuff in that realm of grown-up private fun.
non-assault
stuff.
Even darker than, I think, Daredevil? That's got to be the darkest thing we've watched yet. The most grown-up, dark, mature theme.
That's why I wanted to put it out there right away, because we talk about these things, and I want anyone who's listening to be aware of it in case they haven't seen the show, or if they did, and then, they have anything that it brings up in their personal lives. There's some rough stuff. I don't know how deep we'll go, but I wanted to toss that out there right away, because this is heavy. There's some serious stuff addressed throughout. But right off the bat, Tavy, let's just get into it. What did you think of this season of Jessica Jones?
I mean, it's a great show, and the characters are really compelling. The performances are really compelling. It was hard. I have stuff going on in my life that made it take a little longer for me to get through this than other stuff. But even if I hadn't, it might have taken me a little longer to get through it, just because it's so relentlessly dark and bleak. And our main character is such a dark character, or having such a dark time, that I had to take breaks. I had to rest a little and watch something a little more lighthearted. And that said, it's not that it wasn't fun, because I thought it had definitely had moments of fun, and it held my interest throughout. But boy, whew, it was a rough ride. It was rough going sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I actually, because I'd already seen it, and because of my limited time to watch the show, and because I couldn't watch it in front of Penny, I actually downloaded a plugin for my browser where you can manipulate the speed. So I watched it at 2x speed. So
wait, did they sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks when you watched it?
No, with these plugins, it adjusts the pitch.
Amazing.
And the speed, so it just sounds like they're talking super fast, but keeping their regular voice.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's just. I think YouTube has that feature where you can.
It's a good time saver.
Yeah, so it would have taken a long time. It would have been a real slog, especially because it's not new to me, like it is.
Right, you've seen all these.
I didn't want to sit through it all in that way, but it helped get through it. But there's still all that heavy stuff.
Do you know what's interesting? I know this came out in 2015, right? I think there was buzz. Zeitgeist stuff around the show at the time, to the point where people were talking about this show so positively that back then, when it was on Netflix, I guess.
Yeah,
I remember
these shows were Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember back then trying to watch it, thinking, oh, really? Oh, everybody's talking about the show. Let me watch the show. I don't know anything about Marvel, but everybody said this is such a good noir, detective show. And I actually stopped 7 minutes. I'll tell you exactly 7 minutes and 39 seconds into the episode, into the first episode, because Jessica Jones said something that really pissed me off, and I decided I didn't need this.
Oh, really? What was that?
And I will tell you, it's when she is doing a sort of early private investigating, and she's watching through the window across the street from the bar and looking after what's going on there. And then she looks into the apartment of a woman, like, I guess, a fat woman eating a cheeseburger or something. Or no, it was a fat woman on a treadmill. That's what it is. And she says, 2 minutes on a treadmill, 20 minutes on a quarter pounder.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean And the woman that she was mocking is like smaller than I am. So
Oh,
I was
geez.
like, oh, I don't need this show. So
Yeah.
this time I pushed through that and it was fun. Like I put, you know, I'm not going to throw it away for, I'm going to watch it for the podcast. And I'm glad I stayed with it because that is not really indicative of, that's the only moment of that that you see on the show. But just when I first tried to watch it 10 years ago, I was like,
Oh,
oh, I'm not
so,
watching
oh,
this.
okay. So that's when you watched it. You did wa make an attempt way back then. You
I
actually
made an attempt
started,
in
and then you stopped it
2015 and stopped
that
7 minutes in because of that one line, the throwaway line. I was like, I don't need this in my life. So
far.
now, 10 years, 11 years later, I'm like, okay, now I'm really going to watch this. And I'm glad I pushed through this time. Obviously, I was going to watch it anyway. I didn't make a comment about it. Yeah, that's the only time we see anything fatphobic really coming from anybody's mouth. So I was okay with it at that point.
Yeah,
But
I'm sorry that that
what are
line
you going to
kind
do?
of,
You know,
but
this is the culture.
yeah.
I've seen worse. I've heard worse. Just at the time, I was like, well, I don't need this. I'm
No,
not watching
I'm
this.
sure that was the right call
At
to.
the time, it was the right call. And this time, watching it through was the right call. So everything in its season, right?
Yeah, I do remember a lot of the praise for the show, and when I first watched it, honestly, I was a little mixed. I think she carries the show. She's great. And you'd think that would normally be the case for a show that the protagonist, the main character, would have to be a strong performance. It's not always the case. Maybe that's a little foreshadowing down the road. I
Uh-oh.
won't get too much into that. But, and then David Tennant as
Oh,
Phil Graham,
man.
the villain, he's excellent. But some of the
Fantastic.
side characters, you know, I remember it was praised kind of because maybe how it had this strong female lead and it dealt with these heavy issues. And then there's a lesbian relationship. They're treated as real people with real issues and things like that. But some of the stuff and some of the side characters, I didn't see what other people saw. And I felt nothing. I cared nothing about Hogarth and her wife and her mistress and their relationship troubles. It didn't ring like anything to me. It just, I didn't care about them. And she's a terrible character. I hated her.
Oh,
And
she's evil. Yeah, she's a horrible person.
there's other side characters too that I felt were a little cliche, a little cartoonish. We'll get into that more as we go. But it's a good show in the Netflix world, but I just didn't see it as much praise as I was hearing at the time. Watching it again now, I think certain things didn't bother me as much. Maybe again because I'd seen it already. I know what's coming. And overall, it's fine. But yeah, like I said, she carries the weight. And then David Tennant also, he plays a great villain.
Oh
But
my God, yeah. I thought Tennant's performance was really, really strong. And I come from, my background with David Tennant is Scrooge McDuck. So
oh, okay.
to me, he's Scrooge McDuck. I know he's done other things and I've seen
Well,
some of the other things, but I love him most as Scrooge McDuck. So I really had a good time seeing him play a very different character than Scrooge McDuck.
got,
And
yeah,
he's
definitely very
amazing. He's
different.
amazing at it.
I
It was
haven't
great.
watched much of that reboot. Alan Young is Scrooge McDuck for me
I
forever.
know how you feel. I know how you feel. I'll just say, not to go off on a tangent, but I ended up loving it even more than I love the original DuckTales.
Wow, that is high praise.
Yes. But we'll have that conversation another time.
Maybe I'll have to check it out, give it another shot at some point. But obviously, a lot of people know him from Doctor Who. He's one of the
Yes.
doctors. I never got into that. That was never my thing, but I understand he was good in that. I think the only thing I'd really seen him otherwise is when he played a small character in one of the Harry Potter movies.
I remember that too. Yeah. He was in a show called Broadchurch that I got into last year. That's a pretty good show. It's a British police drama sort of thing. And he's a troubled police officer type of thing, but a good guy. Whereas in this, he's not a good
Oh,
guy.
he's the
So
farthest thing from a
for
good guy.
sure. So yeah,
But
a lot of range, that guy.
moving on, let's go further into it in our usual routine.
Okay.
Is time to play everyone's favorite
Wait.
Marvel
No, no.
podcast game show.
No. What are you talking about? Oh no, is this gonna happen every time we watch a show?
Spot the Stan.
I love cameos.
Where we
I haven't.
see if Davey could spot one of Stan Lee's classic cameos. And as I expected following the Daredevil debacle, I figured I might get this response from you
I
when
had
we talk
no
about this.
idea. What? I'm looking through many, many notes, by the way. No. Okay. Well, my God, where the hell could he possibly have been?
I will tell you, it's basically the same thing as the Daredevil one. In episode 7, I believe, when they're in the police station, I think at someone's desk or something is that same picture that we saw on the wall in one of the last Daredevil episodes, where it's that same, he's some police officer character, and there's a picture of him hanging in the background. And I didn't even catch it on this watch through. I had to look up which episode when, but it's there at the police station. It's
wow.
Over. It's just him in that same role on a piece of paper, on a poster. So once
I have
again...
to go look it up. That's really sad. I only wrote two notes for episode 7, actually. And one was, hey, Rebecca De Mornay. You know?
Is that when she's first introduced that far in?
I guess so, because I didn't note her until then in episode 7. And the other note is, I looked it up. There is no 15th Precinct in Manhattan.
Oh.
I don't know why that was important to me. But I felt the need to write that down. There's no 15th Precinct in Manhattan. There used to be, I guess, and there isn't anymore.
Okay,
so I find that kind of thing interesting. The whole bizarro New York, this version of
New York. You're very into the New York.
Very into the New Yorkiness of it all. I have other comments about that as
the show. I always appreciate that insight from you. But of course, I had a feeling that's where that was going to go. But moving on, maybe keep an eagle eye on the upcoming Netflix shows. Just so you're a little more prepared. So you'll know. What to keep an eye out
get
for.
Get my act together. This is my second loss at Spot the Stand.
But
how many episodes in are we?
Well, by this point, let's see. I think this is our 18th. I'm just starting work on episode 16. I just did 10 minutes last night starting off the editing of episode 16. So this is our 18th. So you got 16
you.
Out of 18. Not a bad run.
Not bad. It had to end at some point.
And you'll get more once we're out of the Netflix.
I sure hope so.
The movies he's pretty hard to miss overall.
Right.
But moving on from that, as already kind of indicated, there will not be a Penny's Corner. Penny did not watch this. I could not have Penny watch this. I had her watch some of Daredevil early on. She kind of lost interest. And then there was mature stuff. This was full on just a no-go, no Penny
zone.
So unfortunately, we're missing a Penny's Corner. But as with the Daredevil first season, I went out of my way.
You made your own.
To do our own Marvel trivia for I actually just did this earlier tonight. I just went through all my notes and looked at what notes I could transform into trivia questions. So we've got a good bunch, and feel free to discuss any of it as we go. I really need to make a concerted effort with this, especially with how long the Daredevil episode was and how long it took me to edit it. I have to pull myself back from going too deep into plot of every single one of the 13-hour-long episodes, because it's a lot. And
it's a lot.
We're not just a full-on recap podcast. We're a discussion. We do some recapping, and we take notes so that we have stuff to discuss. But I've got lots of notes written down. I'm not going to read all of them. But either way, a lot of them I transformed into trivia questions, so we'll tackle them now. If you want to go a little beyond answering them, if something strikes a chord, if something brings up a note you made, feel free. But we'll start with the trivia, and then whatever's left to discuss, we'll get to it, and hopefully we won't be in my usual rambling.
It's all part of the fun, Zach. But yeah, we'll try to tighten it up. We'll do our best.
It's something I need to work on, and I can admit my faults. So
I just got to say, some of these, it took me so long to get through the series that it's been over a month since I saw these early ones. So
okay.
I don't expect a lot from myself with the trivia, but let's see what happens.
Well, I don't think I made anything too difficult.
It might be really easy and obvious, and I still can't remember 13 weeks back.
Well, we'll see. And maybe when I say something, it'll strike a chord and it'll bring back a memory. But here, this one hopefully is fairly easy. The first one, what three letters appear at the start of every episode's title?
AKA.
Good, you got that one right away.
Also known as.
Yes, and each thing is actually, there is a titular line in every episode. Every one of the episode lines is said in dialogue at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
What strategy does Jessica utilize in order to calm herself when having a panic attack?
She recites the names of the streets near where she grew up, right?
Right. Can you remember any of them offhand?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I should, because she said it so many times throughout the series, but I honestly don't.
Yeah, and I actually didn't write them down. I figured in case you could remember them, why not?
Did you remember any?
Not offhand, no.
Ah,
I didn't write them down, but I figured I'd ask in case you could
just
remember.
In case.
What's the name of the drug addict who lives in Jessica's building?
Oh, shoot. What's his name? He was a big character. Is it Marcus?
Close.
Oh, gosh. I really liked him. Why don't I remember his name? That's terrible. Now I'm looking through my notes.
Down?
I must, so you're going to have to give me a second. Vamp.
Sure.
Vamp. La, 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 la.
Elmo's.
I don't know why that happened. Malcolm.
There you go, Malcolm.
Malcolm. Sorry, Malcolm. I really like that guy.
Yeah.
Great hair. Great arc throughout the series, like an emotional arc, a personal arc.
Sure. Well, with me, I'll say he was one of the characters when I watched it.
Oh, you didn't care for him?
I felt he was very, like, cartoonish cliche of a drug addict. He was like, oh,
yeah. I think he starts out that way, and then you get more information. Well,
yeah, he cleans himself up and he pulls himself off. Yeah, but it just felt like the way he was portrayed in that way, it was over the top.
I could see that.
To a cartoonish degree.
Yeah. But
that's my take on it. What power does Jessica claim to have as a threat when serving Gregory Spheeris with a subpoena?
I want to say laser eyes.
Good, you got it. Good job.
Yeah.
What is the name of Jessica's lifelong best friend?
Trish. Right? Trish has a show. Walker?
Trish Walker, yes. Well, then you
not Patsy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Another one of my minor nitpicks. When I watched the show and they called her Trish, in the comics, she's known as Patsy Walker. Mm-hmm. So here they took that. I guess her name's Patricia. And in the comics, they made it Patsy. And here they made it Trish.
Well, it made perfect sense for me, though, because she was trying to get away from the Patsy persona that she was under her mother's thumb, child actress. So she's an adult now. She's not Patsy anymore. She's Trish. That made emotional sense.
Sure. Yeah. On the surface level, when they first introduced her, though, I'm like, why are they calling her Trish?
Sure. Of course. As a comic book reader, you're like,
that's not her comic name.
That's not right.
Then the next one was, what does she do for a living? But you kind of just said it.
Talk show host. Yeah, radio talk show
radio.
Host.
Radio. Yeah. What does Hope say to Jessica in the elevator?
Yikes. Well,
when Hope is in the elevator, Jessica, it's not like they're going on an elevator ride together. Hope is in the elevator.
Yeah.
Is looking at her. And what does she say to Jessica?
Nope. It's gone, man. Is it after she kills her parents?
It's right before.
Right before she kills her parents. Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, I'll give you a hint. She's basically echoing Kilgrave. So he put this command in her head, clearly, say this to Jessica before you do this thing.
No, it's
gone. Something he would say.
Nope.
What's something men often tell women to do that is condescending and
smile?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, she said smile?
Yeah, she said smile.
I don't remember that at all. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, she says smile, and then she kills him, and then...
Oh, how disturbing.
Yeah, and then soon after, she snaps out of it and realizes what she did and freaks out and panics.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I remember the freak out and the panic, but I don't remember the smile. That's interesting. It's funny what sticks in your head.
Yeah. What message does the former ambulance driver, Jack, write to Jessica on a notepad?
Oh, God, it's so disturbing. My notes suck. It's not helping me at all. It's something about killing him, right? Kill
yeah,
me.
Kill me. Yeah.
Yeah.
He starts writing it, and she's like, "Oh, what is it about Kilgrave?"
And and then it's like, kill me. Oh, that whole part was really dark. Like that was.
He had like both his kidneys removed, and he's alive by this dialysis machine or whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I was like, "Wow, this is the darkest show." Yeah. Yeah, and I can't believe how bleak.
And that's like scraping the surface.
And we just started. Yeah.
What item of Jessica's did Trish pay to have fixed for her?
The glass in her door.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah,
the window.
Quickly. Yeah, her door goes through a lot of...
Yeah, it keeps getting broken. Doesn't last.
Yeah.
It's not a very safe kind of door to have in your New York City apartment.
Yeah, this big plate of glass right there.
No.
At one point, I think she reaches in the hole and locks it behind her. I'm like, that's a little silly.
Which is pretty funny. There are some moments of levity.
Oh, sure. How does Luke demonstrate his powers to Jessica at her apartment?
Oh, it's not that he's cutting himself. Is it one of those sanders? Like a floor?
No, it's like a saw. It's a rotary
saw. Oh, it's a rotary saw. There you go. Sorry. See, I knew it was something electrical.
He puts that against his skin.
Against his skin, and he's
like sparking. Yeah.
Luke Cage, by the way, I know he gets his own show.
Yep.
Because I think I've seen it on the menu. Disney Plus. That's a good looking man. That's all I'm going to say. He's very, very, very good. Easy on the eyes. I enjoyed all the scenes that he was in.
Okay. I could understand that. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
What are the names of the creepy twins who live in Jessica's building?
Reuben and Robin.
Yeah, and of course,
so
like
creepy.
Twins, they have to have those similar
I hate it.
Rhyming names.
You know that's a pet peeve of mine as a twin with a my sister has a very different name than I have. I hate it when in the media it's always like a rhyming name or they sound similar. Or the, you know, a girl name and a boy name that are like the same name. Oh, come on. A little creativity. Come on.
And those two also, I'll just say, were a couple characters that I just found like so over the top cliche. Like, here's these creepy twins where it seems like they love each other a little more than in a sibling way. There's something going on. And it just seemed like that cliche over the top cartoon.
Well, especially the portrayal of Robin by the actress. I don't remember her name.
Colby Menifee.
Okay. And she did a great job, but that character's so annoying. I couldn't, just like my teeth curled every time she started. I just wanted her to shut up already.
Yeah, I really didn't like her. And it's funny, though, her sister went to college with Harry, my brother.
Oh, that's funny. Small world.
I met her sister one time. And then also,
I'm sure she's lovely in real life. That character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Could go take a walk off a short pier, which is probably tasteless. Way it a tasteless way of saying it. Knowing what happens to the brother, to Reuben.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, the actress who plays Hope, Erin Moriarty, and Colby Menifee, who played Robin, they just wrapped up a show together also in the superhero world. They were on The Boys. I don't know if you know that show.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen. Is that a superhero show? I don't know anything about it.
It's a very satirical superhero show. It was based on a comic, and it's kind of a dark look at superheroes, where if we had superheroes and they were very flawed and they were even to the point of just being bad people.
Right.
And superheroes behaving badly, kind of. It was a fun show, but it's very graphic and gruesome in a lot of ways. And it became satirical of a lot of our current real world stuff to the point of where they were doing things and had ideas. And then our real world kind of beat them to the punch with how we're living in a sad time.
Ooh, creepy. Ooh, no.
Like, they recently had the main villain. He decides he's God. He's like, he's the second coming. He's bigger than Jesus. He's better than And yet we just recently had with that AI image of a certain someone.
Yep.
And the showrunner was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's a little too on the nose.
It
wow.
would be too hard to parody or satirize these days because it just reality takes the cake. But yeah, they were both on that show together, interestingly enough. What does Jess see in Luke's medicine cabinet that causes her to have a flashback?
A picture.
Of
his ex-wife, that we don't know that at the time, right?
Whose name is?
Reva?
There you go. Good job. What does Luke exclaim after a particularly enjoyable, though off-screen, session with Jess?
No, I don't know. What did he say?
He says, "Sweet Christmas."
Oh.
Which is a catchphrase of Luke Cage's in the comic books.
That's cute. I like that.
He says it again later on when they're working together and they go into that place with all the marijuana and he sees all the weed and he's like, "Sweet Christmas."
Sweet Christmas. Uh-huh.
How does Jess get Officer Simpson to leave the scene after he attacked Trish while being mind controlled?
Oh, right. Does she? Don't they jump off a building together?
Well, no, he's supposed to try to jump off a building after the mission's done.
Right.
But he's there and he's attacking her. And Jess thinks fast to get him to think he's accomplished the mission. So she does something to give him the impression that he's done so then he can move on.
I don't remember this. It's gone. Does she pretend she's dead?
Yeah, she shouts, "You killed her."
Oh, yeah.
So
that's right.
Think, oh, you okay, killed I killed her. I can. I
that's
can...
right. It all came back. That's right. That's another character, by the way. Officer Simpson? Simpson? He's irritating. I guess he's not supposed to be your favorite character. And there's definitely a whole backstory that I feel like is a whole comic series that I haven't read.
Well, yeah, with that him, guy. It's interesting. He is his own character. He's a supervillain in the comics, and he's more than just this cop. He actually has a tattoo of the American flag on his face. He's a character called Nuke.
Interesting.
He
well
started
his
off
whole
as a daredevil villain, I think.
His whole deal with the pills reminded me a lot of the Captain America, like, take the super potion and have super abilities kind of thing. And he's got that scientist guy following him around, the only doctor. So I was like, is he like a Captain America type, you know, pumped up
It's interesting
guy?
Because I remember I actually put two pictures together side by side of a still of him and then a still of Chris Evans, where I felt like almost they were going for him as if he was like a dark
Right.
Because the two of them, the blonde hair, and I think they're wearing similar type of material jackets, and I felt like he was maybe...
He's like Bizarro Captain America.
Yeah, like a counterbalance. Maybe that was intentional. I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Interesting.
But yeah, and the pills he takes are red, white, and blue. So
right. Oh, that's right.
That's some of the connection to the comic book character version where he's Nuke. In the comics, he's Frank Simpson. They made him Will Simpson in the show. And I wasn't sure why, except for the fact that maybe they anticipated a more prominent Frank character was coming down the road and they didn't want to have too many Franks.
That makes sense. You can't have too many Franks.
What covers the walls of the room Jess finds belonging to Kilgrave?
Oh, pictures of her. Of Jessica.
Yeah.
Creepy.
What was the name of the show Trish starred in as a child? You kind of touched on this earlier.
Oh, was it It's Patsy?
It's Patsy, yes. It's so Patsy. There we get a little bit of a nod to the comic where, yeah, that was another thing. In the comic, she's a redhead. Here, as a kid, she wore a red wig in a show where she's called Patsy. But in the comics, I think she was a model. She's Patsy Walker, and she's a model, and she's a redhead. So there are a few changes for the show, but they still had little kind of nods to...
Yeah, there's a moment, I guess, when a fan comes up to her for an autograph, and she attacks him or something, and he's just an autograph seeker, and he says, I miss your red hair, and I made note of it, because I was like, well, there's got to be a whole comic reason people are talking about her red hair.
Yeah.
Because she must have had red hair in the comics.
Well, they show, I think, in a flashback, they show her in a red wig as a kid.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. What is Audrey Eastman's true motive in hiring Jess, supposedly suspecting her husband of having an affair?
Oh, she was weird. Oh, yeah, it was Jessica Hecht from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I was going to say Breaking Bad. That's where I knew her from.
Yeah, so. And Friend. I knew her first from Friends, but I'm old and nerdy. or old and basic, I guess I should say. They turn on Jessica.
What's the motivation?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember. That was a really episodic episode. It felt very contained. We had Audrey Eastman. It just felt very...
And she hires her, and then Jess tails her, and she finds her at a shooting range, and then she goes to where the husband's supposedly having an affair, and it's really her with the husband. It was a setup. So why...
Did Kilgrave tell her to?
No, it's unrelated. Why was she resentful?
Oh.
She was resentful. And
I don't remember.
It's that she's angry at powered people because her mother was killed during the events of the Avengers.
Oh, the events of the Avengers. Okay. She
otherwise known as the incident.
The incident, right. Right. Okay. That's right. I remember this now. Because it's interesting how when the show starts, you don't really know that Jessica's got powers. And then later in the first episode, it sort of reveals itself and she lifts a car or something.
Right. Yeah.
And so I kind of like that. I like that it kind of got introduced more gradually. And then you can see, okay, there are a bunch of people like that in the city that have abilities.
Sure. I could watch it and see it's like a private eye show. And then,
but this, do you know why I don't remember anything about that episode? Because that's the episode with the, can we talk about the camera guy?
What was the camera guy again?
Okay. So that's the episode where I'm watching it on my TV and I very clearly see in one scene when Jessica's leaving the apartment where Audrey Eastman is with her husband or whatever, there's a guy in the shadow with a camera on his shoulder.
Right. You shared that with me.
Filming. And it's just not supposed to be there. Like, I looked it up online, and apparently on the Netflix version, the contrast was such that you couldn't really see it.
Oh.
Or that's what people are saying online anyway. I don't know. Who knows? But in this version of it, you can see, it's like a wider shot maybe than it was on the Netflix
version. That's interesting.
Version. And you can see him.
Disney Plus ended up giving away something rather than editing something out.
Yeah, well, and at first I was like, ooh, there's somebody else. And this is part, because this is the time in the show when Jessica's feeling very paranoid, you know, she's being followed around, she's getting pictures taken of her. So I'm like, oh, is this another person that's stalking Jessica? It's part of that stalking Jessica subplot. Like, is this a new villain called Camera Guy that we're going to learn about? No, it was just a mistake.
Yeah,
it was fascinating, but I couldn't remember anything else from the episode after I saw Camera Guy. That's all that retained in my brain.
Yeah, I can imagine that sort of sticking out and tainting everything else.
Yeah.
All right, a follow-up to that previous one. By what names does Jess refer to two of the founding members of the Avengers? It's in that same scene.
Big Green Guy or Flag Waver?
Yeah, the green guy and the flag waver, which again, we talked about this in.
Yeah, I wrote that one down because I remembered our conversation. It's like they refuse to actually name them. They want to have it both ways.
It bothered me so much because like people know who they are. They have names.
Right.
And to call Captain America a flag waver. No, he wears the flag, but he's not some jingoistic.
No.
America, blah, blah, blah. When you call someone a flag waver, it's like they're just like super nationalist.
Yeah, that's not his deal.
No, yeah, he's the symbol that wears the flag because of the whole experiment and group he was a part of where they wanted him to be this symbol of America as a super soldier. But he's not that gung-ho, rah-rah, America above all else kind of
justice
guy.
Justice for Cap, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not cool, Jessica.
In Winter Soldier, you see he goes against the higher-ups because his morality clashes.
Yeah.
He's his own man. So I thought that was stupid and annoying when
it was.
And again, it's just a symbol of.
I wrote it down because I knew it would be annoying to you.
Exactly.
I wanted to make sure. I'm like, Zach's going to mention this because this is definitely a pet peeve.
Someone helped you with the trivia.
That's right. It did. Thank you. Thank you, me.
In a flashback with Trish and Jess at a bar, what awful euphemism does a guy hitting on Trish use to refer to private solo male fun?
I blocked that one out.
For good reason, I'm sure.
I remember the scene and I remember that guy. I remember the whole scene. Like, Jessica gets rid of him with some sort of, like, makes a bet or something. And then.
I'll wait for our next question.
Oh, I'm sorry. But no, I don't remember. You're going to have to tell me.
Boxing a bald-headed bishop.
No.
I said it was awful.
That's terrible. Boo.
Yeah, I heard that. And just like him saying that, it sounds so forced and it's so awful. And why would you say that to someone? Because he's saying, oh, I remember watching your show. You taught me how to do that while holding a remote in the other hand. And it's just like, oh, so cringe.
Who is that going to impress?
Yeah, really.
Nobody wants to hear that.
He's going
to
be like, oh, really? Thanks. Want my number? Like,
yeah. Wow, what a compliment.
So follow up. How does Jess get him to leave them alone?
Yeah, it's something. It's not arm wrestling, is it? Darts? Some kind of bar thing. And her strength, but I don't remember the thing. Dagnabbit.
She beats him in a punching bag contest.
Punching bag. Oh, that's right. Because it was weird to me that there was a punching bag in a bar. Like, I've never seen a punching bag in a bar before. You'd think it would have stuck out in my mind more, but yeah, okay, punching bag.
So yeah, I guess it's one of those things that sometimes shows up at bars. I don't know. I'm not a guy who goes to bars. But...
Yeah, I don't go to enough bars, apparently. Cool.
But that's how he does it. Now, this is a multiple choice without giving choice. It's just, I'm leaving it up to you. Name two awful acts Kilgrave makes random men do at different points. So just pick two if you can remember.
Oh, Lord. I remember... I guess it's from one of the later ones because those are fresher in my mind. Outside the nightclub, he makes this one guy go stand and stare at the fence indefinitely.
Yeah, he's like,
that was terrible.
Stand there forever, and then you actually see him again later, and he's still.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, it's terrible.
I don't know if it's like freezing cold and raining, or he's peed his pants or something.
He's definitely peed his pants. Something. It's just awful. He's done so many terrible things.
That's why I tried to be specific. So not anything he does to any named character.
Right. That was just like, yeah, a rando guy that he completely destroyed.
Can you think of one more?
I can't.
There's a few of them. Come on.
Many of them. I know. Let me think. Okay, I'm going back. Kilgrave. Adventures with Kilgrave. He makes the Japanese restaurant serve him old school Italian recipe. Does that count as a terrible thing?
I don't think so.
Ugh, okay. Because that stuck out. Because do you remember when I watched that episode, just a little tangent, his favorite dish to have with Jessica is pasta amatriciana. And I've never heard of that before. And then I was ordering Italian with my husband at a new restaurant. And I was like, oh, they have it. And I ordered it and it was really, really good. And I texted you and I was like, Zach, ordered this pasta dish because it was in Jessica Jones.
Amazing. Look at that.
Delicious.
In life.
Delicious. That was stalling for time while I try to think of other terrible things he made random people do. Oh, Kilgrave, you monster.
There was one I always remembered from when I watched.
What about when he made that guy leave his the house? He makes the guy sell his house to him. That was terrible.
Well,
is that not what you had in mind?
He doesn't. He actually holds back from using his powers there. He doesn't use his powers on that guy. He just goes about it legitimately.
You're right. You're totally right. Shoot. Can't come up with one. I'm looking at my notes. La la la. What terrible things have you done, Kilgrave? I feel like it's a long time before we even see Kilgrave.
Yeah,
Like
I
there are
mean, there
several
are
episodes
glimpses
where
and
you only
hints
see
of.
the back of his head and stuff.
There's hints of him. You hear his voice. There's little flashes where I think you see it looks like he licks her face.
Oh yeah. Oof.
But the two
Yeah,
of
and
them don't
not named
first.
characters, just random people, huh?
The two of them don't come face to face till several episodes in.
No, I can't think of any more.
All right, I'll give you a few that I
Give me
have.
a few.
He has a guy throw a cup of hot coffee in his own face.
Oh, right. Oof. God.
Then he has a guy, I think it's after he uses powers to win at poker, he has a guy bash his head into a column.
That was horrible. Yeah, that was terrible. Man, this guy sucks.
And then one of his couriers that he uses to get info and stuff, he has him fall onto gardening shears.
Oh, that was the worst one. Gardening shears. See, I blocked out this violence. It was so violent.
Yeah, some rough stuff in there. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Man.
What was the first costume Jess wore when saving somebody? Entering the world of superheroics. What was she wearing?
She's wearing a costume?
Of sorts, yeah.
Costume. This is a trick question.
No, that she had a type of costume on.
This isn't the mock-up of the costume from the comic books that Trish makes her try on, is it?
No, you knew that was from the comics?
I looked it up because I was like, look how stupid this is. This has to be from the comic. And then I Googled Jessica Jones comic outfit and then I saw it. And it was
Yeah,
that
so that's one
outfit.
of
I
those
had
nods for us fans. She's
to.
trying to picture on a costume, and it is the one she wore when she was doing her super routine as Jewel.
I don't remember what, I don't know what costume she wore when she was saving
Well, I think
somebody.
it leads to her with that scene with Trish getting an actual costume. She's wearing a sandwich costume.
Oh, yeah. I
The episode's called AKA The Sandwich Saved Me.
The sandwich saved me. Yep.
So she pushes a little girl out of the way from getting potentially hit by a car.
That's right.
What deal does Kilgrave make with Jessica in exchange for leaving Malcolm alone?
Is this the one where she has to send a picture of herself to him every day at
Yeah.
10 a.m.?
At a certain
Yeah.
time, yeah, a picture where she has to be smiling.
And then later on, do we think that's him testing to see whether he still has power over her?
I don't know if that's what that is
Because
because
one day she sends it at like 10:01 or 10:03 or something, and he's like, "Don't let it happen again." And it made me think later. Oh, maybe I wonder if he was just trying to see if really he can't. Because I think he says later that he realized to jump all the way ahead. He says later he realizes that he no longer has power over her after she walks away after
Right.
killing Reva, right? But I thought, I wonder if this, like, I couldn't think of the motive for him having her send that every
I think it was
day.
just one of his creepy things. You know,
Just to be creepy, he
he has
wants
that room with
pictures
all
of
those
her.
pictures all over the place.
Yeah, get some new pictures. I also wonder if he wasn't trying to see, like, test that and see, oh, is she going to do it on the dot every day? Because anybody else he told to send at 10 a.m. every day, they were, what? I don't even know if that's the right time. Don't kill me.
No.
Whatever time it was.
I think he was showing power over her, but not necessarily like literal superpower. He was trying
Right.
to still hold sway over her
Right.
actions and say, I'm going to make you do this. And this, it's just his whole evil thing of
Right. Like
controlling
he
women and
became
getting what he wants
obsessed,
of them.
and he's obsessed with her because he realizes that she's the one that can resist him.
There's probably
I
an
think
element of
that's
that. Yeah.
part of it. I assume that's part of it anyway. You want what
Sure.
you can't have.
Exactly. What does Hope's jailmate Sissy insist on getting?
I remember the character. What does she insist on getting? Something from some snack machine? Is it a snack? I don't
Sissy
remember.
needs to get her snacks, yeah. And why did Hope pay Sissy to beat her?
Guilt? Is that guilt over her
No.
killing her parents? No.
No.
Oh, she wanted to not have that baby anymore? She
Yeah,
think that would make that happen?
she was
Yeah.
pregnant with Kilgrave's child, and she wanted to use that to terminate the
I'll
pregnancy.
bet there was some guilt in there too. Just
Maybe.
if I had to psychoanalyze the character.
Sure,
But
but
yeah,
the
that's not deep.
primary stated reason was for that.
Sure.
What is the first hint to reveal the true nature of the home Kilgrave buys?
I don't know.
What indicates to the audience what that home really is all about?
Well, it's
Any.
Jessica's childhood home, but I can't remember specifically what clued us in as viewers
There's
to
height
that.
markers drawn on a wall.
Right. Yeah, with her name and her brother's name.
Yeah.
So sad.
And then at the very end, it pans back and you see those cross street names that we've heard.
Right. Yep.
What does Ruben bring to Jess's apartment as a sign of his love for her?
I want to say banana bread.
That's right. Good okay. job.
Nice.
How does Jess persuade Hogarth's wife, Wendy, to sign the divorce papers?
Doesn't she dangle her over a subway track?
Holds her in front of an oncoming subway track.
Awful. Yeah. Jess. Yeah. Jessica. A morally ambiguous character, to be sure.
For sure, yeah.
Anti-hero extraordinaire.
Yeah. What does Jess bring into the police station in an effort to get locked up in a supermax prison?
Ruben's head in a bag.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. R.I.P. Ruben.
Yep. Then who tells Jess that she's free to go?
Is that cop?
Which one?
That guy. You know, I like that guy. He dies later.
No.
Not him.
Not that
okay.
cop.
Oh, shoot. Some other cop? We know another cop? Is it Officer Simpson?
No.
What other cops are there? Oh, no.
It's a familiar face.
It's a familiar face? How much? What? Oh, no. This is how my memory works. This whole premise of this podcast is test Tavy's aging memory.
I don't know if that's the whole premise.
It's so bad. I've decided that's the major premise of everything else is this is all about do I have early onset something.
Right. Remember this is an interconnected world and think of another cop we might know from some previous thing.
I would have been really excited to see a cop we knew from a previous thing. So now I have to look at my notes.
It's a very small cameo, and I think it's the only time this character shows up within this season of television, but we've come to know him prior to this.
We have. So he must be from Daredevil?
Yes.
Oh, no. Daredevil was even longer ago.
But it should narrow it down. There's really one main cop that you think of from the show.
No, I can't remember. I can't remember, Zach. I can't remember. You have to just tell me.
It's Brett Mahoney.
Oh, Officer Mahoney. Did he really? I don't think I clocked it.
I have it in my notes, so I'm pretty sure
I don't think I clocked that at all. Well, that's cool. That's a cool crossover that I didn't pick up on in any way.
Yeah.
I like that other cop, and what's his name? Is that a trivia question?
No, I didn't really.
Clemens. It's Clemens.
Okay, yeah, no, I didn't do anything with him for the trivia.
I liked him.
He's in my notes, but no trivia. What do Kilgrave's servants do in order to get Jess to go along with the dinner he planned?
Hold their knives up to their throats?
Yeah, she's like threatening him, and then they put knives to their throats.
Oh, so creepy.
Showing the control over them. What is the name of the nosy neighbor who made up stories during Jess and Kilgrave's backyard meal?
I remember the neighbor. I don't remember the name. Nope. What is it?
Mrs. DeLuca.
Mrs. DeLuca. Okay, Mrs. DeLuca.
What famous science fiction character does Kilgrave emulate when trying to do the hero thing with Jess?
He tries to emulate a famous science fiction character.
It's a little nod. There's a fun little moment that nerds, beyond Marvel nerds, can appreciate because she's trying to see, like, look, you could use your powers for good. And there's a crime scene, and he needs to get by the officers that are kind of in the way. So he gives them a certain...
Oh, it was like Obi-Wan?
Yeah.
Right? Obi-Wan like, Kenobi. You're not interested.
He's like, we can go about our business, move along.
Yeah, so you can go around your business. That was it. That's right. Yeah, that was fun.
What was the source of the argument that led to Jess's family getting into a car crash?
Did she not want to go with them or something?
No, they're in the car ride.
They're in the car.
And an argument ensues, and then it gets distracted.
Is it a Game Boy?
There you go, Game Boy. Okay. Her and her brother, it's like, oh, let them have a turn. And they're fighting over Game Boy. And like the dad turns around to talk to them or something.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
So sad.
How did Kilgrave first get his powers?
It's his parents, right? His parents were... He leads us to believe they were experimenting on him, but we discovered that's not quite what's...
Well, no, they were.
I guess they were experimenting.
The reasoning of why they were.
The reason for the experiment, that's where it's ambiguous.
Yeah, it turns out they were trying to save him from
something. But they were, in fact, experimenting on him.
But yeah, in the process, it led to him getting these abilities.
I wrote down at one point, when those scenes are happening, they're like, Kevin, Kevin. I'm like, his name's Kevin Kilgrave. But it's not. His name's Kevin something else. And he chooses Zebediah Kilgrave as his name later.
Do they ever say Zebediah in the show?
They do, because I wrote it down and I didn't look that one up. So somebody says Zebediah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Which is hilarious.
That is the character's name, I think. In the comics. In the comics, the character's supervillain name is the Purple Man. And he actually has purple skin. They didn't carry that over here. They probably thought it would not look very
That would have been kind of cool.
In a show like this. So they kind of have him wear purple clothing. And you see sort of purple lighting sometimes.
There's a lot of purple with him. You're right. Like his fashion. I think of him in a purple shirt.
So
Kevin Thompson. Okay. That's it. He was Kevin Thompson, not Kevin Kilgrave. I was like, oh, it's another one of those alliterative, you know, comic book names. Kevin. No, it's not Kevin Kilgrave. It's funny.
Yeah, so that was their way of kind of including the purple aspect without making his skin full purple. After agreeing to work with Dr. Kozlov again, what color pill does Simpson ask for?
A blue?
No.
The red.
Red. Yeah, he says, give me a red. He's in the hospital.
Red pill. He wants to be red pilled.
not quite in that way, but yeah. No, but after Mrs. DeLuca comes to deliver a bomb and blows herself up, he's in the hospital. And then Kozlov enters the picture again after they clearly had some previous working arrangement between them. How does Jess get Trish to satisfy Kilgrave's command of putting a bullet in her head?
She makes her put it in her mouth.
Yep.
Right. So, I thought that was clever.
Another little clever thing. Because she's like literally trying to force it into her forehead. Right. Who cut the safety wire for the button to zap Kilgrave in the sealed room?
Hogarth?
That's right. Yeah. She's terrible.
Yeah. She's awful. Just terrible character.
Yeah. I did not care at all one bit for her relationship falling apart. And especially, you know, her cheating, her affair. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of death by a thousand cuts scene was pretty brutal, but she also, you know, like, I couldn't be that sad that she was getting a little bit of comeuppance before she's rescued. That whole scene, another, like, really gruesome sequence.
That's the next question. In what gruesome manner, I literally said the word, in what gruesome manner does Wendy die?
Poor Wendy. So she's doing the death by a thousand cuts thing, and what's her name? The new Pam comes in, sees Wendy going after Jerry Hogarth, and she throws her into a table or something, or she hits her with something and she falls back. Yeah, she hits her with something heavy. She falls back into a glass table. It shatters and really like
well, I don't think it shattered. I think her head gets impaled on a corner of
the on the corner. Oh, that's even worse. Yeah. That's worse.
It's
God.
Really rough.
Terrible.
She did not deserve that.
No.
Yeah, she goes through a lot through the whole thing where she's being cheated on. And then she happens to see them going to the restaurant where they've had the proposal. And then she has herself held up for an oncoming subway train because Hogarth has a superpowered
All for having terrible taste in women. I mean, she didn't deserve it. Ugh.
In Jess's fantasy, what does she ride off on?
Jess's fantasy? There's a fantasy?
A fantasy sequence where I guess it's supposed to be her trying to escape Kilgrave, and I think she jumps off a roof, survives it, obviously, and then what does she hop onto to leave?
Yeah, I don't remember. Motorcycle?
No, a white horse.
Oh, it's a white horse. Of course, it's a white horse. That's cute.
How do Jess and Trish bribe the guy at the morgue to let them in?
They can get him into, he's a foodie, and Trish uses her connections to get reservations to some fancy restaurant.
Yeah, some restaurant he likes. Yeah, that's right. Very good. How did Jess first discover her newfound strength after the accident that gave her powers?
I remember this because I've broken hairbrushes on my own hair. She's in the bathroom brushing her hair, right? She breaks the hairbrush. She's like, that's weird. And then she ends up breaking the sink.
Yeah, she smashes.
I remember how she breaks the sink.
Smashes the bathroom sink.
And it's a really and then she lifts heavy it up.
Yeah.
Marble sink.
What company does Kozlov work for where Trisha's mom gives her a folder with information about it?
Oh no. I did write it down because it seemed really important. Oh. IGH?
That's right. Good job. What does Jess do in order to stop a mind-controlled Luke after he tells her, do what you gotta do?
Shoots him?
Yeah.
With a rifle? Point blank under the chin? Right?
Was it a rifle? Maybe it was. Yeah,
or
him.
The shotgun?
I said
What
shoots
was
him.
It? It was...
Shoots him in the head point blank is how I wrote it, but yeah.
Yeah.
And lastly, what does Jess tell Kilgrave to do before snapping his neck?
Smile?
There you go. Comes back full
circle. Came full circle.
Good job.
Yeah. The shooting of Luke led us to another fun crossover I did remember.
Oh, of course.
It'd be really
yeah.
sad if I
we were
didn't.
going to get to
With
that.
Nurse Claire,
Yep.
right? The nurse to the, what do we call them?
Superheroes?
Superheroes, or the, I guess, the gifted.
The New York
whatever it is.
Street level superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I like
Believe
seeing Rosario Dawson show up.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing a trivia question about that, but I didn't want to jump ahead and go to Claire's introduction and a trivia question. But
sure.
I would say, like, after they're not able to get the needle, and how does she go about resolving?
Sure.
Where, you know, she sticks it through the eye and sucks out some fluid.
Yeah, that was a crazy, gnarly scene to watch.
Yeah.
She's a good person to have in your corner.
Yeah, so that was a good round of trivia. You did pretty well overall.
Thank you.
I should mention
good
Jessica
question.
Jones was created by Brian Michael Bendis. He was a pretty prolific Marvel writer in the 2000s. And him and the artist Michael Gatos in Alias number one in November of 2001 as part of Marvel's Max imprint. These were the more mature, kind of darker comics where when I wanted to read this, maybe after I first watched the show, I couldn't even get it on the Marvel Unlimited app where I do a lot of my back catalog reading because I think they just don't have those comics on there. So I had to, I don't think it was even on the official Marvel app. I think I had to go to an outside digital comic app to get that because of the mature rating that,
sure.
that Marvel's own stuff, because I guess they feel kids could find it. It's not on there. But
when was the character created?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. November of 2001.
Oh, sorry. You did just say that, didn't you? Yeah, that doesn't seem that long ago to me.
Yeah.
I know it was 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Doesn't feel that long ago to me.
But before we talk about anything else, again, I don't want to just do one of my big long rambles of plot, but I'll look over the notes to see if there's anything I did want to mention. Is there anything particular you'd like to discuss about the show? Any greater feelings? Any particular notes you have? Let me know.
Just a couple of things I wanted to make sure to mention. One of them was I was very excited that one of the people in Malcolm's support group was played by Danielle Ferland, who originated the role of Little Red in Into the Woods, Stephen Sondheim's original production on Broadway. She didn't have too much to say. There's even a couple episodes where she has no lines, and I'm like, what a waste of Danielle Ferland. But that's some deep cut Broadway nerd stuff. So that made me really happy to see her. And I thought it was really funny that the place that the support group met is the Court Street Diner in Queens. It makes no sense for those people to go all the way out to take the G train to the Court Street Diner. So that was just, there were a few fun little, this doesn't really make sense geographically, but it looks right for the show moments.
Gotcha.
There's definitely a scene where they're on Roosevelt Island. There are a couple of scenes shot on Roosevelt Island where I grew up, so that's a big one for me. And one of them, they're just supposed to be by the river, I guess. And Jessica says, I'm walking home, which was really funny to me because you can't really walk home to, where does she live, in Hell's Kitchen? Anyway, she lives in Manhattan somewhere. It's not, you can't, it's not practical to walk home from Roosevelt Island to Manhattan. And it was like, they didn't even try to disguise the fact you could see the tram, the Roosevelt Island tram, in the background in that scene.
Oh, there you go.
So I was just like, oh, that's a fun Easter egg for us Roosevelt Island people. Is there anything else I wanted to make sure I pointed out? Yeah, be ready. Jessica Jones is walking on Roosevelt Island again. This actually makes no sense, but whatever. Oh, Reuben had a chinchilla. We hear about it really late in the game after he's dead, and I'm really sad that they didn't find a way for us to see the chinchilla.
I don't even remember
just
that.
Another weird quirky thing. I guess Robin mentions Ruben's chinchilla, and I'm just like, oh, these are some quirky twins. These are weirdos. They have a chinchilla.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yep. Oh yeah, I loved when we saw Kilgrave's mom, the reveal of Kilgrave's parents, and Kilgrave's mom is in the support group just silently sitting there in the background. And at that point, we think, oh, it's the evil experimenter, you know, that tortured the child. And then the reveal about the parents are there and why the parents are there. Yeah, definitely a gruesome show, a dark show, sort of shocking. In the sex scenes were more explicit than any I think we've seen, while still not being explicit by, I don't know, HBO standard, right? By basic cable standard.
You never really see anything.
Yeah, you don't see anything, but it's a lot more.
Yeah, you don't see anything nude.
Pantomimed.
You see the actions. And
the actions are a lot more suggestive than anything I think we've watched.
Yeah, again, only Daredevil would have probably really had anything so far, because everything else is in that very squeaky clean, kid-friendly MCU. I mean, we've had some other TV stuff under Marvel Television, but that's a lot of network stuff.
Right.
I'm not going to do anything there. And overall, that sort of adult-natured relations isn't super prominent overall. So, yeah, this is definitely, there's multiple...
It felt like this is as far as they could get, really, with this kind of property.
Yeah. I do have multiple.
I think they came up to the line and didn't cross it.
I do have multiple notes of each of the times that Jeff and Luke hook up, because it happens a few and they are portrayed differently. Actually, one of my early notes in episode one is Luke, who we see very early, not with Jessica, but when she's doing her PI stuff and looking into the woman having the affair, they're like right inside their window with the blinds up.
Yeah, it's very implausible. The lights are on. The windows are quite visible. Like, they're not even
trying.
It'd
be a little more discreet if they're having this affair and they're going to be...
I know, if you're having an affair...
Getting down and
dirty. You both know, you're both good-looking people. I get it. You're not that... But if you're having an illicit affair, maybe close the blinds.
right in front of the window.
So funny. I really thought Jessica and Luke had great chemistry. I liked them as a team when they weren't at odds, when they were working together. I thought that was really fun to see. I liked them as a couple.
Yeah, and that is based in the comics. They do have a relationship.
Oh, good.
I won't go too far into it, but...
No spoilers.
It was nice to see them connect in this show. But on the note of Luke and Jess, obviously it's not revealed for a while, where it turns out she's the one responsible for killing his wife, Reva, and they have the flashbacks. Right. And you learn more and more about that as it goes, where somehow, I guess, Reva was needed to lead them to where this USB drive was buried that Jessica punches through the ground to get, and that contains the video evidence of the experiments and things. And so that's where he was using her for that. And this always bothered me, especially because they show it multiple times throughout the show, throughout the season, when he's done with her and he's like, okay, take care of her. And she punches her in the stomach. The look on this woman's face, Reva, is just so blah. Like, if you're punched super hard in the chest, you think, obviously, this is an audio podcast, but you'd be like, oh, it's in slow mo. She's punched super hard by a super.
It's very stylized. It's not at all realistic.
But like, even to do it in slow mo, at least like there should be a pained expression on her face. She just looks like, oh,
just nothing.
Okay.
Oh, I guess I'm dead now.
It's very blah.
Right.
The blah expression on her face killed me. I hated it so much.
And we had to see it a few times too.
Yeah, they kept showing it. It was annoying.
Jessica, when she's hopping from hospital to hospital, at one point she asked the cab to go to St. Vincent's Hospital. That closed in 2010. I just wanted to note that. Another New York note. St. Vincent's Hospital did not exist on this show.
Are you really trying to keep them honest with these things, with the New York?
I'm telling you.
Here's a note I have. More banging, just on top, bed breaks.
Yep, bed breaks.
I was using the word bang quite a bit to try to keep it.
Keep it, yeah, PG. Good PG phrase.
Going to the support group, it was a funny, sort of interesting sequence where, because Trish puts out on her radio show about this Kilgrave character and how he can control people's minds. And then it brings people out of the woodwork where you see them interviewing and you see people who are like, yeah, it was this guy made me do it. But then kind of pick out some of the stories definitely seem like they're more legit. And it was interesting to see kind of back and
that
forth.
That was a fun scene.
Played for comedy, but then also back and forth with ones that you're like, oh no, he tortured this one.
So. Snuff carcass. I wrote down snuff carcass. Do you remember that?
What'd you say?
Snuff carcass. Do you know what that is?
What's that?
When Rosario Dawson as Nurse Claire is in the ER and Jessica Jones brings Luke in after shooting him. And I guess at one point she mentions Kilgrave and Claire goes, Kilgrave? What is that? Is that an alien? Should it? Why didn't he just call himself Snuff Carcass? Because it's like such a silly villain name. Like, I like that they made fun of it a little.
That's funny. Apparently, we do see a kid dressed in a Captain America costume at a point, or
do we?
A flag waver costume, I guess you'd say.
Captain Flag Waver.
He runs by when it's in a park and they're following Malcolm, when they're sort of learning that Malcolm is working for Kilgrave.
Union Square Park. That's right. There were a lot of scenes in Union Square Park. A lot of them. In the springtime, because there are flowers on the trees. It was very specific.
And we do see a flashback to when Kilgrave first discovers Jess, where I guess Malcolm was being attacked and she sort of saved him. And
right.
He's like, oh, what's this girl about? And then he takes her on as his sort of new pet, his new slave. So
right.
Really messed up stuff.
Yeah, very troubling. Kilgrave has a real just inability to, like, his delusion that he can win her over after forcing her to be with him in that way.
Yeah.
Just thinking, I'm not going to use my powers. You're just going to magically see that we're meant to be together. Like, what? That level of delusion, that's some real supervillain stuff.
Crazy stuff. Yeah. Here's something I wrote down that's worth mentioning. At one point, I guess Luke wants to hire Jess for his own reasons. And it's kind of funny. Malcolm's trying to be protective and threaten him. It's like, yeah, okay, guy, you have a chance.
Yeah, good luck.
But Jess is sort of hesitant to do that. And she recommends Luke go to Angela del Toro. Angela del Toro is a character who dons the identity of White Tiger in the comics.
Of course, it's another superhero.
So it's a little Easter egg reference, but it's also, knowing what I know now, hearing that line, it's a way that contradicts the Netflix shows being canon to the current Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, really?
As things are, because it does not make sense. And we'll get to that at a much later point, because it's a fairly recent development.
Okay.
A show that's tied to the Netflix shows, but it's very contradictory. It wouldn't make sense at all. But just, I caught it now, knowing what I know, and I'm like, nah, that doesn't work out. We also hear, with her doing the investigative stuff, Jess does a lot of fake voices. She's making phone calls, being like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh,
yeah.
You won a contest or this and that. So that's a fun little...
Yeah, she's really good at it. She's pretending to be people's flustered secretary who lost the date of a thing. And she's really good at... I mean, you can really see, like, she has that talent for being a private eye. She can really melt into a role.
Definitely.
So Trisha's mom's pretty horrible.
Oh, yeah. She's
the Rebecca De Mornay character. The
shade stage mom.
The stage mom from hell. Abusive mother.
And on Trish, that reminds me, there's some adult intimacy stuff with her too. And when you see her and she's lying in bed and you're kind of like, what? And then you realize what's going on under the covers with Sir Simpson.
Yeah.
And then another time she's on top of him, and then Jess is calling and she's not going to...
She's not picking
up. Not picking up the call.
Busy.
Yeah. So we... Beyond the Luke and Jess of things, Trish gets some action going on.
I feel like she could have done better than Officer Simpson, but whatever.
Yeah, probably. The relationship there is awkward, especially when initially he tries to kill her.
Yeah, exactly. It's disturbing, but
It's funny, at one point, Kilgrave has Jess's phone and is texting Hogarth, and he just goes like, bitches, right? One of those moments of levity where it's this awful, awful.
Yeah, that was funny.
Another thing he does that got a laugh is when they trick him in the final confrontation in that place where you see this hooded figure and they're listening to music with headphones on to drown out any command.
Yeah.
He takes it off and he's like, for God's sake, it's Patsy. It's Patsy. The name of her
show. Yeah, that was good. Is there any significance to the fact that they were going to get on a yacht called Goldfish at the end there?
I don't
think Goldfish mean any? Okay. I thought it was a funny name for a yacht.
Oh, this is something too with the whole thing. I hated the little relationship with the mistress, Pam. At one point, she's on the phone, Hogarth, with Jess, and like they're necking. And it's like, that's rude.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah.
No, you're distracted.
Tacky.
And there's one point too where there's tension with the two of them, and I think it's Pam. She's like pushing her hand up her skirt, and then she pulls back, and it's like, well, but first you need to really get things set right. It's like this really intense, again, more of that grown up activity between a couple.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, but not yet. You have to finalize everything with your wife or whatever it was. Another thing with Hogarth that's gross, like, she took the aborted baby.
Oh, yeah.
She had some sort of plans for it.
The lab. And they're, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying
to help with Kilgrave. I guess she wanted to see about somehow using it and if it got the powers or.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's creepy.
This is a note I had that I definitely wanted to make sure I shared because it's amusing. As I mentioned earlier, I was watching this all at 2x speed.
Right.
And there's a line, and I had to rewind it a few times just to make sure I heard it right. It almost reminds me of that thing from Guardians where we thought Gamora was like his phone number.
Oh, yeah.
Jess tells Trish on the phone that her optimism is getting in the way. I can swear when I first listened to it, it sounded like your autism is getting. I'm like, wait, she's not autistic, is she? I didn't think that was a character trait.
That'd be a really weird late reveal. Yeah. In the series.
And obviously, I'm not saying that as if I think autism should get in the way. I'm not offending anybody with autism.
No. It would have been an offensive thing if she had said that. That's why you were shocked.
Yeah, but just
why would you say that?
It was going 2x speed and sounds
pretty funny.
Your autism is getting in the way.
So, did you wonder why, if Luke Cage is indestructible, why he bothers to wear a motorcycle helmet? Is it just because it's the law? He's just setting a good example.
Well, even though he's got unbreakable skin, maybe an impact could hurt his brain.
His bones. That's true.
His brain mushing around inside of his skull.
Yeah, that's better safe than sorry.
Because that's really what his power is. He's not completely
indestructible.
Because, like you see, the shotgun blast does damage to him.
Right.
But the skin doesn't break.
It's the skin.
So him. Okay. It's hard to hurt him in a real way because he has unbreakable skin. So you can't stab him. You can't shoot him. If you
can't operate on him.
Yeah, exactly. If you punch him, it's only going to do so much. But he can, I guess,
internal
injuries are possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
It that way. And you mentioned the support group and they're at the diner. And again, going back to Robin and my issues with being cliche, I know you sent me this screenshot in a text because of how chilling it was, but to me it felt so cliche where it's like they say something shocking or revealing and then like I don't even know if they did this where like the focus of the lens shifts and then
shifts
back, but you see this reveal, like she leans back or she leans out to reveal herself. Oh, so that's it, huh? Like she learns her brother was killed, and then she has like a snappy, snarky remark about it. She's not like, what? Oh my god, running off crying. She has like a little zinger.
She has a zinger ready. It was just funny because I happened to pause the TV right at the moment when they reveal her face. So I was like, ah!
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, Miriam Shore. That's another Broadway thing I wanted to mention. Cool. So Jessica Jones's mom, in a flashback, is played by Miriam Shore, who originated the role of Yitzhak in Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Another one from my collection.
So you've got
all these New York
all
actors,
these Broadway
Broadway actors that I love.
That's a cool, fun little tidbit, mm-hmm. Little trivia.
Collect them all.
But yeah, throughout the show, Kilgrave makes people do stuff, and there's all sorts of crazy stuff that happens. And then he uses his powers in mass in ways, like when she's in the hospital, he somehow intercepts. Well, first he makes a phone call. And you see a woman says, oh, there's a phone call. Are you Jessica Jones? And you have to take it. And she leaves it off the hook. And then she's talking while she's walking around it. But then he intercepts like on the TVs on the hospital. He says, oh, there's a virus running rampant. And she's the host. And you see her. You got to kill her. So everyone, like, she's in a room with an old woman when that happens. The old woman starts throwing something at her.
Right.
Everyone's like, Jessica Jones. They're all trying to kill her. Security guards shooting at her and stuff. And imagine if someone had that power. That is a pretty incredible power to have, just to speak and to people listen. At one point, he's in.
Oh, yeah.
A restaurant or something, and he says quiet, and everyone, all of a sudden, you could hear a pin drop. Everyone just stops talking.
Yeah, it's a terrifying, and it's one of the most impressive sort of superpowers I think I've seen in this universe. Like, if you think about it, he could get a lot of good stuff done if he was on the side of, you know, righteousness, and we could sign some environmental laws into effect. We could get rid of all the nukes, like, just
have billionaires give away their wealth.
Right, anything good that you can think of, if only this guy wasn't a total sociopath.
Yeah, I think they like to do these sort of clickbaity things too online. It's like, here's 5 villains who could have beat Thanos or something. And they put him there because he could just tell Thanos, hey,
just knock it off.
Give up the stones.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Stop.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, if it works and if no one is immune.
Right.
Yeah, you just get whatever you want. And that's what he does. He's, you know, this hedonist. And doesn't matter who he hurts.
Yep.
In order to get his way. And then in the final confrontation with those people at the docks at the boats, he says, start killing each other.
Oh my God. Now, that's
and they all are fighting each other. So sometimes even if he can't hurt Jess directly, he does things to hurt other people
right.
that she then has to deal with. And then he shouts, stop, and they stop. But then he's making Patsy, you know, Trish, be like his new replacement for her with
right.
the slavery and making out with him and stuff. And then I guess because he was getting his parents, he was having his father make something to work up to enhance his powers because he lost his hold over Jessica. So he wanted to up it to see if that would get where he could use his powers on again.
Right.
And he says, tell me you love me. And then you see she does the thing where she just leans over and looks at Trish and says it. And then she grabs him by the mouth and says, smile, and cracks his neck.
Yeah, that was good too, because it played into the, they said, we need a code word that you should say that you would never say. And she says, okay, I'll say I love you because I would never say that.
Oh, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's...
Yeah, it's right before they go into their little plan
to
get him. So that moment tied back very nicely to that.
Oh, wow.
Leans over and looks at her and says, I love you.
Yeah, I don't think I caught that. That's that's pretty good.
It's a good one.
I think initially I was kind of let down that she killed him. And I was speculating, well, what if he knew she was going to try and he said something or did something to convince her that she believed she killed him and then he got away? Because I thought he was such a good villain. And so often in these movies and Marvel things, they kill off the villain like one and done. But he kind of had to be killed. Otherwise,
he'd keep doing it. It felt almost a little anticlimactic. Because it was done so quickly and easily at the end, it was just snap, you're gone. It wasn't super anticlimactic, but I almost felt like, oh, okay, that was fast. Okay, he's gone now.
Yeah, I mean, she had to really. I think you can't.
She did.
You give him a second which he could say something, and then he can get out of it.
Yeah.
Quickly. So she had her plan originally with the sealed room where you couldn't hear him speak, and then
thin bin
zap him, and they were going to try to get the parents and try to get it where that's why they wanted that cop you mentioned, because his testimony would hold more sway in a court if he sees what he's using his powers, because there was a whole big thing of where doubting a person like this could exist. Of course, annoying freaking Hogarth was a big part of that. We're like, oh,
yep.
Sure, there's a person who could make people's minds get read and blah, blah, blah. So they thought, let's demonstrate it. They had this whole plan worked out, but then it didn't work out because Hogarth again ruined it.
Yep. Thanks, Hogarth.
And then Simpson's being controlled and he's shooting that cop after the cop like pulled his hand out of a handcuff. That was rough.
Oh God. He
shoots him in the head.
Near degloving incident. Very disturbing.
And then he burns down the whole room, so no evidence of it. So in the end, you're not left with much of an option but to kill the guy. And he certainly caused enough destruction and death in his wake. So you can't say he didn't deserve it. But
oh, he sure did. He sure did.
Yeah, so in the end, then you see her kind of rebuilding. Her glass on her door has been destroyed over and over. You see she's got it up and it says Alias Investigations. And now Malcolm is nice and cleaned up and he's answering the phone for her. So you see she's moving forward, back at it with a private investigation and free of this burden of this monster that had been tormenting her for so long. And so that's Jessica Jones season one. And it does continue. There are two other seasons of it. So you'll see more of that down the road. It and Daredevil are the only two that get three seasons. The other solo character shows have two each. And then there's the Defenders crossover. On that note, as we mentioned on the podcast with our friends Andy Mascola and Josh Sabert recently, the TV, we are going to dial back on that for anyone who hadn't heard that. I'm even thinking maybe we should not even do those next Netflix shows because, again, I don't want to be too behind the eight ball when it comes to getting you to finish the Infinity Saga before Doomsday's theatrical release.
Yep.
So we still can always go back and do the rest of the Netflix because, again, these TV shows, they're a lot of commitment and time in watching and then...
And editing.
Discussing, and then it's a lot for me to edit. So I tried to hold back with the plot discussion here. I think I did an okay job of it, but we still covered the ground that we needed to. So as always, this was a fun discussion and you overall liked the show, right?
Yep, that was a good time. And I do want to watch the rest of the series at some point. So I'm glad that you got me to watch the show. Thanks, cool. Zach.
Yeah, I'm glad. It was another fun one for you and we'll see where it goes from there. Next episode, though, the next one's Daredevil season two. Our next episode would have been Daredevil season two, but we just recently aired Daredevil. I edited it for a while. I've got a few episodes in the making now, and then we've got this episode. So again, I think after this current one here, we'll pause on TV. And then so that takes us to Captain America Civil War. the third entry in the Captain America films, and it's a particular favorite of mine. I'll say just that much, but we should stick with movies for now. So next episode, we will discuss that one. I look forward to it. It's a really good one, in my opinion.
Excellent.
One of my very favorite MCU films. So I look forward to that a lot.
I love Cap. Looking forward.
Yeah, he has, I think, the strongest trilogy so far. Guardians is maybe right up there too, but the Cap films and Cap as a character is like tops for me in the greater MCU picture. So I look forward to that one. And again, thank you for doing this with me on this one. I think it was a good time talking about it and a good show to talk about. And yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And we will see you next time. Take care. Bye.
See you next time.
Zach and Tavy's Marvelous Adventure is produced and co-hosted by Zach Walliner and Tavy Phillips. Featuring Penny Walliner. Edited by Zach Walliner. Theme music by Luis Humanoid. Cover art by Chris Giarrusso. If you enjoy our show, please be sure to leave a nice review and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. And follow us on all the major social media sites and apps at Zach Tavy Marvel. That's ZachTavieMarvel. Thanks again for tuning in. Nuff said.